There is a scripture in Revelation chapter 12 that tells us that Satan is full of anger because he knows that his time, that is the time that he has left to him, is short. This does not exactly bode well for humanity in the short term. There may be some very dark days ahead, and that is ahead for mankind, as an insane spirit of self-destruction and self-deception becomes more and more apparent. There is a saying that it is always darkest just before the dawn, and there is a new day about to dawn. Some people are looking for the dawning of an age of Aquarius, but we look to the day that brings our Saviour back to this earth, and that was celebrated just a few days ago in advance, the Day of Trumpets, followed by this day, the Day of Atonement, picturing the time when Satan is bound and prevented from interfering and influencing mankind by deceiving them and by making us walk astray. Now, can we picture that day? Because we are here today, as instructed in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. Now, here we are told that we gather together in this particular place that God has set his name on. We are told that we are going to have to give an offering because we must not appear empty-handed. And this is what the eternal God of creation requires of us. So Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 reads as follows. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the eternal your God, which he has given you. So, why exactly are we here? Is it purely because we are required to, because we're obliged to, in accordance with this particular command? Perhaps that was true when the truth first began to permeate our minds, but now, are we here because we really want to be here to give according to the blessings that we have been given, so that we can share the blessings and so that others can hear the truth brought to them? It may have been the case years ago that we just came here because we had to, but now we should really be wanting to be here. We should be wanting to share. In Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 and 7, we hear what the Apostle Paul had to say about this subject. And he actually lays down the guidelines for us, and it shows us that we should be wanting to share, that we should not be here simply because we are commanded to be here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 and 7 reads as follows. When I find the right place. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. As we see here, it must be a desire from the heart, a desire to share, a desire to reflect God's way of give, to reflect God's way of life. You know, the whole gambit of it. It's not just that we're here because we have to be here. We should really want to be here. We should really want to share of what God has given to us. We're all here to do something, to give an offering, and our offering, when it is all said and done, is only money, and it pales into insignificance when we compare it to what we have been given and to what we are offered. We are offered eternal life. We have been given physical life. Every breath that we have been given by God. There is nothing that we have gained of our own. So we see, when we put it into perspective, we are giving a paltry sum, no matter what it is that we give, it does not even come to be sufficient in even our own sight when we look at what we have been given in exchange. And when we consider all that we have, we cannot even to begin to give that which is sufficient. It is as simple as that. God has given us absolutely everything we have, and we just give a little back in return. So what is the purpose of our giving an offering if the offering is so paltry in comparison to what we have been given? I'd like you to turn with me, please, to John chapter 21 and verse 17. Here our Saviour gave an instruction to the Apostle Peter. And at this time we have no apostle, but we do have a ministry. And it is this particular aspect that the ministry is really focusing on at this time, I believe, because, quite frankly, the work that the church is doing at this time seems almost insignificant. So John chapter 21 and verse 17, here we read the words of Jesus. Jesus said unto him, just at the very end, "Feed my sheep." Now, we're right at the end time here. Mr. Armstrong phrased this particular instruction somewhat differently. He said, "Get the church ready." Now, that is perhaps more portrayed in this time, that it is to prepare for awesome service and for awesome responsibility. Now, soon Satan's kingdom will be taken from him, and its territory will become the kingdom of our Lord and our Saviour. Our offerings will be used to place God's words as much as we can before this world, so that a work can be done. And turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, we find when it is that we ought to be giving an offering. We read it is three times in the year: the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and this particular time of year, the Feast of Trumpets. It's a time of joy, and it's a time of real appreciation of what God has given us. So Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God, in the place which he has chosen, which is here." And it is either in the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks, or this time of year, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Day of Trumpets pictures the return of Christ. Today, the banishing of Satan, so that he can no longer interfere with and influence mankind. It's a feast picturing, preparing for the millennial rule of Jesus Christ and his servants, and it is a time of real happiness. Presently, the world is under the sway and influence of Satan. Mankind may be writing the very last words, maybe the last sentence, the last paragraph of the history of civilization. We may even have passed the last full stop and be writing the words which come at the end of most books, which says, "The end." We just don't know, but we are very, very close to that particular time. In any event, the Day of Atonement pictures the time when Satan will be taken from this earth. It's a time when he will be restrained. It is a time that we all yearn to see. The time when Satan is bound and no longer is able to deceive mankind. Today's offerings will be faithfully applied to the task of feeding God's flock and doing whatever is possible in presenting a warning to God's people. So we will now take up the offering, and whilst this is being done, we'll hear some offering music, which will be Psalm number 19. "All the heavens declare your glory, Lord," and that will be sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke.